Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a ton of money. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. All right. So, the more I, you know, literally, the more I think about it, the more it actually really bums me out. This whole thing is really upset me tonight. Now, Carver High's very happy because he hates the Knicks, so this to him is like got to be just – it's almost got to be enjoyable for you.
No, honestly, I wanted them to either get four or five, specifically five because that was the furthest that they could fall.
Right.
Or win so I could keep banging that lottery's fixed drum. So either – you know.
Oh, so you wanted them to get him, then you could have said it's all fixed.
Right. That was my whole idea.
But now that the like these two laughable, let's face facts, I mean, no one cares about those franchises.
Well, it's horrible. And the Pelicans are a horribly run franchise. I mean, they've got football people running the show. They don't, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
But here's the thing. I know I said it to you earlier. I know it's not going to look this way right now. They get Barrett. I mean, there's years that he could have been the number one overall pick. I mean, not this year with Zion in the draft, but there's years that he's talented enough he would have been the number one overall pick in the draft.
Okay, so if there was no Zion Williamson, do you believe still that Ja Morant would have been selected ahead of R.J. Barrett?
I think it depends on who was picking one.
So it would have been either or.
I think
or.
It could have been a toss-up.
It would have been either or.
Yeah.
Do you believe that, you know, I have my reservations about Ja Morant. I think he's a fantastic, to me, and now I know no one's going to like hearing this. Like, to me, he's like a great he's like a great street ball player. Like, to me, he's like, I know he's a lot better than that. I know he's a D1 phenom, and he, you know, played at a small school, right, at Murray State, right? And then he lit it up and got them all, put them on the map and everything. You have to understand, Murray State's always been a good basketball program, always. They've been, ever since I've been alive, Murray State has been decent at college basketball. They've always been involved. They've always had a program. To me, they've always had, like, decent teams. For sure. Nothing fantastic, nothing to overwhelm you, but they've always been tough. Decent and tough, I can live with. All right, fair enough. But I never, like, do you really believe? I got to see it to believe it. Because I think he's like this and one guy. You know, the guy that flies through the air and dunks, and he can light everybody up in the street ball, and he can light up all those players in that Murray State in their conference. And then in the NCAAs, he did really well, right? Didn't he do really well? I mean, no one could stop him. I'll give you that. But to me, like, just for me, I just think he's this fantastic, flashy street ball player. And I know he's better than that. Fair enough. But to me, that's what he is. Like, I don't know if he's this earth-shattering, franchise-changing player, right? Like, he's just going to, what, go to Memphis and win a championship by himself? Good luck. Telling you, there's 50 guys like him in the NBA, is there not? There's so many players that are better than him. I mean, in time, he might be better than all of them, fair enough. But right now, you can't tell me that he's better than, like, there's so many guys that play in the league right now. Do you think he's better than, like, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum? And I mean, I could go on and on, two guards, point guards. You want me to go on and on? I'll go on and on. I'll tell you a player on every team that's better than him. Like, in the league already.
Until I see somebody actually play in the NBA, I can't call them better than any of these guys.
Fair enough.
It's just the way it is.
Fair enough, right? So my reservations, I think, are somewhat, you know, reasonable. Am I not entitled to say, I got to wait and see?
I don't think that, for me personally, he would be the slam dunk absolute choice.
I think
over,
Barrett's a better player
over
than
Barrett.
Him. I think Barrett's better than him.
I think that it's a team-by-team basis. I think that it's a person-by-person basis. I think there's plenty of people out there who would take Barrett over Ja Morant.
What do you think, Mafia?
I just think that.
Who do you think's better? Do you think Moran is better than Barrett? Do you think that he'll be a star in the league in Memphis and, like, literally carry that franchise? Because they're going to treat him like that.
I don't think he's going to be the guy, type of guy that can just carry the franchise on his back and just make you great. Obviously, I mean, we know in the NBA, one player does not make a team. You need at least two or three in order to really matter and contend in this league. I mean, some of them have gotten together with, you know, some guys like Jokic is a star, and then the other guys on the team, not necessarily up on that level, but still, if you want to really be a team that matters. And Memphis was that for a while with Conley and Gasol and, you know, Randolph. They had three. Now they've fallen on hard times. You still have Conley there, so I don't think he's going to jump right into the mix right away. They might, you know, ease him in a little bit more, or maybe play one of them as more of a shooting guard for a while. He's a flashy guy. He's very exciting. He'd do a lot in the NCAA, but I'm with you where I have to see him do it in the NBA before I'm going to say anything of, you know, guarantee what his future is going to be. I mean, he's 6'3", so he's not like he's the biggest point guard. He's fast, but he's, you know, like a buck 75.
6'3", he's the size of T.J. McConnell, right? Aren't these guys like
– yeah, he's like 180 at this point. Like
Steph Curry,
he definitely 6'3". Needs a lot more weight to not get tossed around in this league, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
And let's remember something else here. You can go back in the last 10 to 15 years of these NBA drafts and just look at the top five players taken in every draft for the last 10 or 15
right.
years. And almost every single one of them, two or three of the top five guys end up being hacks. It's just
a lot of them at number two.
A lot. It just happens. I mean, other than the year that LeBron went, where you had what Carmelo and Wade and Chris Bosh. I mean, that was a really good top five.
Right.
And even they had what Darko Milicic was the other guy in the top five. You can look at. I just looked at the last like five of them. There's two or three hacks in the top five every single year. Guys that don't turn out to be what everybody thought they were going to be.
Who's
on
that
draft
player going to be this year? Like, I'm hearing already people are saying Cam Reddish to the Lakers at number four. I would no more pick that guy over DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver than fly a kite. Jarrett Culver is NBA ready, and Cam Reddish is a coin toss, if you ask me. What did Cam Reddish do with Duke? I mean, did he really take over at Duke? Was he not the third or fourth wheel on that team? Seriously.
I agree.
I mean, calm
down.
Could
be, those guys.
He's not going number four. There's no way they're trading. There's no way, in my view, that he's the number four.
I don't believe so either.
I don't believe so. If they take that kid over Jarrett Culver, they're tripping. Jarrett Culver's a grown man, and that kid's a little boy. All right? I don't care what anybody says.
But I'm just saying, out
and
of
if,
the...
if that Pelinka guy screws that up, they should literally. They should. Can you. What do you do when you. Yeah, I'm not even going to say it because I'll get fired. I wanted to say something horrible
there. You
don't
want to drop anything there? You don't want to
I was just going to – I was going to talk about
– tar and feathering?
Well, cremation would have worked. Can I get away with that? I think they should cremate him. If he screws up the four, they should cremate him. He's already bad enough. Like, he's got no credibility at all in Los Angeles. Do you understand? This guy, Pelinka, is mud. His name is mud in L.A. I don't care what anybody says. Right? I mean, you can't even deny it. The fans hate his guts. He has no chance at all, in my view, of succeeding in Los Angeles as an executive with the Lakers. You know why? Because they've already made up their minds. Have they not, the fans? The fans have spoken on Pelinka. They don't even like Jeannie Buss anymore. Do you notice? She's now public enemy number one. Palinka's number two. Am I wrong? They want her to sell the team, the fans, because they're done losing. They're sick of it. You can't take that kid over like a Jarrett Culver. Even Hunter. Hunter's a great defender, right? I mean, that guy, DeAndre Hunter's the best. He might be the best of all of them because he plays defense. You got some guy that can play defense like that guy. He was like the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, one of the best defenders in the country. The guy can flat out D up and defend. Those are hard to come by because, you know, like me, I don't, you know, they say I don't play defense. No one likes playing defense. Everyone likes scoring. All these guys want to score and be stars. The guys that make it, like this guy, Draymond Green, you can hate him all you want. He's a defender. He's a flat-out defensive menace. That guy, DeAndre Hunter, is going to be the most valuable player in that draft based on his defensive skills, not some kid just because he went to Coach K and Duke and he got that spoon-fed Dookie brotherhood BS. This is flat-out. That guy, Hunter, plays defense, and everybody saw it on display in the national championship. Why do you think they won the national championship? It's because every game leading up to those six that they won, he played the best defense of anyone on the floor. Boom. There you go. End of discussion. The Wizard in Tennessee. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, dude.
The whole Zion thing, I think it's unfortunate for NBA altogether. I mean, he couldn't have went to a more boring market, and John Morant's going to end up in Memphis too, so that's terrible. But as a Lakers fan, I think that, you know, we definitely hit a home run. If we could have snuck into the top three, it would have been a grand slam. But you're completely right about Rob Pelinka and the Jeannie Buss situation. I mean, we've dealt with so much over the past years that we're just sick of the front office making bonehead decisions and treating the organization like it's a mom-and-pop shop. You can't run an organization, a $3 billion organization like that, and expect to succeed.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing, too, Wizard, that the other guy, I'll say public enemy number three and four is Rambis and his wife. So the whole thing is a disaster. So what I would, you know, Magic Johnson left because he had to deal with these Nimrods. That's why he left. So let's get real now. This isn't about backstabbing and Pelinka and Jeannie talking bad about Magic one day and he walked in the room and heard him sticking knives in his back. This is him realizing at his job over a couple of years that he was dealing with incompetency. Right? So everyone that ran the Lakers into the ground the last 5 years, he doesn't want anything to do with any of them. That's why he left. He left because he knows he cannot bring it to himself, in my view, to admit publicly that Jeannie Buss is screwing up the Lakers, just like her brother did. Right? Like, they got rid of her, she got rid of her brother, right? Because he was an idiot. And now she is exhibiting the exact same traits as him because now, without him around to blame, she's being exposed. Am I wrong? Because Pelinka and her, it's an absolute Shaq show. It really is. And the Rambis thing, like, can someone explain to me how this woman, honestly, his wife, is now got all this juice with the Lakers? They're a mess because of this circus in that front office. And that's all there is to it. And what they should do is, and it'll never happen. I told you, she's never selling the Lakers. But what she needs to do, since she's so ruthless with her brother, right? She kicked her own brother out of there, right? What she should do is tell her friend Rambis and his wife to get lost. And then eventually she's going to have to fire Pelinka because he's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. He should go back to being an agent. You know what he is? Tell me he doesn't remind you of, like, an agent on what was the show that everybody watched? The show about all the guys in Hollywood that lived together, the one that was so great on HBO, Entourage. He's Ari. That's who he is. You know what he is? He's like a Hollywood cheeseball agent, isn't he? Is he not just the ultimate cheeseball Hollywood pretty guy, pretty boy with his nice little pink suit on and all of his, you know, neon and all of his bright, fresh colors and suits and Italian Gucci and Boss and all the rest? But at the end of the day, he knows how to cut deals for celebrities, athletes, but he doesn't know how to run an NBA team. That's all there is to it, right? I mean, honestly, what is he doing besides ruining the Lakers? And just even listening to him talk tonight about having the number four pick makes people want to hurl because he doesn't know what he's doing. He'll screw that up too. What that guy needs to do right now is trade and get Davis no matter what and forget about that, you know, give him the number four. Just make the deal because you've already ruined the Lakers, dude. So fix them. Make the trade for Davis and everyone will forget it. They'll forgive you. And then you know what they're going to do? If you get Davis in L.A. playing with LeBron and trade the whole franchise, and then if you get him, what they're going to allow you to do is sit in a really nice seat near Jeannie behind the bench, and no one's going to beat your face in. Because everyone there right now in Los Angeles wants to beat your ass. Is that not true? Every fan in L.A. wants him dead. They do. They want him dead. They don't even want him alive. So they hate him dead, and it's never going to change until he gets Anthony Davis playing in Los Angeles, right? You know it. I know it. That's all there is to it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. Conference finals all weekend, hoops and hockey. PharrellOnTheBench.com is all over it. Hitting games left and right like the Bruins tonight. Warriors to win. Best picks, best price. Buck a day, son. Best return. Every game, every play, every day. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Pharrell's Picks. And, here we go. It says here, so we had Ace Rob Blakely on earlier talking about the Knicks are keeping an eye on the Celtics. Other than Kyrie, who did you say that they want? Morris and
I believe Rozier.
Oh, Terry Rozier and Morris, they want. I got to tell you, I like Terry Rozier's game. I thought his mouth at the end of the season was just completely out of left field and unnecessary. He just waved himself right out of Boston. It's like, see you later. You're done there. So, but I don't, you know what? I got to tell you, I want no part of Morris. I think he's average at best. And I think he's washed. I think his career is going to go like this, down fast from this point forward. Like, he doesn't matter now, right? He's just a bit player now. Let's face facts, he is. And, I mean, he can hit a shot. He can have a big game. He could have a, you know, 20-point game here and there, right? He could still have that moment. But they're few and far between, if you ask me. Like, he's, like, go through the motions. I mean, I won't deny he's tough. I won't deny he's physical and he'll, you know, fight for his teammates. I like that about him. But I don't want him on the Knicks. I really don't. I just don't think he's that good. So there you go. And I like Rozier, but I don't think he's that great either. They already have players that are as good as him, if you ask me. So, I mean, if they have Knox and they get, A.J. Barrett or R.J. Barrett in the draft, I mean, you know, to me, at some point or another, he's as good as Rozier. I like Rozier's game. He can hit shots. I think he's slinky. He's tough. I like him. He's all over the place. The kid can play flat out. I like his game, but I couldn't believe at the end of the year opening his mouth like that in Boston, like he matters. Honestly, you know what I mean, Mafia? The guy doesn't matter enough to open his mouth. You know what I mean? Like, to me, he's just like a player just needs to, you know, don't talk. We already know you're good. Don't open your mouth because they don't respect him there enough to open his mouth, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, last year they all loved him because he filled a huge role for them, played great for them, but I think that got to his head. I think that time with Kyrie and Hayward out, where they're leaning on him heavily to do a lot more in the playoffs for them, it made him think that he was a bigger star there than he was, and he played great for them. You got to give him all the credit he deserves for that year, but once Kyrie came back and Hayward came back, they're the big money players, they're the big stars, and yeah, he didn't like how he was used, but that's the way it is. You got to, you know, acquiesce to those guys. You got to give them their minutes, their shots, and that leaves less for everybody else.
So, did you hear what Pelinka said tonight? Let me just be clear. He said, quote, I had asked my son, who's 11, what should I bring to the draft lottery for good luck? He said, Dad, just bring some optimism. He said, the world needs more optimism, and end quote. So he's using his 11-year-old kid as his quote machine now because just I want to be straight up. Because everyone hates his guts so much in L.A. They hate him so much that he's trying to, like, pull the little kid card in where you're like, you know, maybe he's right. We should all be so more optimistic and loving and kind. Do you think the Laker fans are loving and kind with the season they just watched go down the toilet and the fact that they got LeBron James and they still suck? Do you think Laker fans want to listen to this guy with everything he's done to butcher that AD deal the first time?
Yeah, but the bottom line is tonight's a good start to their offseason. They jumped up from, what, 10th or 11th to 4th? So they're already, and now they have more equity. They could, that pick is actually worth something now to get AD.
There's no doubt about it.
It might not have been a 10 or 11, wherever they were supposed to draft.
But it's a gift. It's a gift for him.
So this is the start. You watch out. This was a good start to the offseason.
Like I said 15 times, the guy, if he butchers this, like he's done everything else, he's finished there. He has to use this, make the deal, get Anthony Davis. That's it. There's an end of story.
That's how he wins this pick. That's 100%.
They will forgive him if they get Anthony Davis to play with LeBron James.
Well, if they butcher, it's not just him in trouble. There's talk about the minority owners like trying to do an upheaval against Genie if they don't get this offseason right. And everyone's pissed off with how this is being run.
It doesn't matter. You know, you can have that all you want, all the shareholders. It doesn't matter if you ask me because she owns it. She owns the team. What she'll do is fire them. She'll get rid of them, right? That's what will happen there. You have no idea how much control she has, apparently, because her dad, just let me be very specific here, that she owns every single bit of it. There's no one else. All these other people that have a piece, they don't have anything. That's what they have. They have nothing. Am I wrong, Carver High? She runs the whole G-damn thing. That's it. She owns it all. The rest of those people are posers. What they have is nice seats. That's all they have.
She's the only sheriff in town.
That's right. And they have nice seats. That's what they have. They have a luxury box. There you go. Congratulations. You own nothing.
Well, unfortunately, one of the people that they're talking about possibly being pissed off with her is AEG Sports, which owns the Staples Center.
Well, there you go. Well, they can be mad at her all they want. You know what? She's going to not listen to them either.
go back to that story we did a couple.
She's not gonna listen to anybody, that chick.
Then we do that story a couple of months ago where they said they'll rebuild the forum or whatever they're gonna do. You're like, go do all that.
Yeah, go ahead. No, honestly,
they don't need the Staples Center. Go rebuild the forum.
Just so you know, the Lakers here. Let's get right to it. The Lakers are more important than the sun is in Los Angeles. Where is what 330 days a year of sunshine? The Lakers are more important than the sun. Trust me, they love them like no other. Like, don't you see these jokes all the time about how no one likes the Clippers? Like that they'll never be the Lakers, even if they win, you know, 60 games. No one cares about the Clippers. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not even kidding. The Clippers should move to Seattle or any Vegas. Move somewhere. Get out. Run. Because no one cares about you there. It doesn't even matter how good you are. It's true. It's so true. Like, yeah, have you ever seen Snoop Dogg make fun of him? He makes fun of them so dirty they can't even air it, right? He just absolutely abuses them. I hate to say it because the Clippers are a better team. They are a better team, and they're a better franchise, and they got a better owner. She has lost the grip. No, you can say whatever you want. She's lost the grip of that team. She lost it. When Magic Johnson walked out the door, that was her death sentence. It really was, because now she's lost her right-hand guy, the power, the juice. Do you know how much juice Magic Johnson has with Laker fans? I mean, do you even understand? The fact that he walked out of there and said, I quit, I don't need this, it's because they are all a bunch of dribbling idiots, and that's all there is to it. And now that he's gone, she's got zero cachet, zero juice. Zero. Other than she has all the cards. She owns it. So hate her all you want. She owns the team, you lose. It's simple. It's like people trying to argue with Jerry Jones, right? You know what that's called? Have you ever had a baseball bat in your face? You're going to get clubbed in the face. Like, remember my Walking Tall reference. You're not doing anything. I'm going to beat you in the face with a wooden mallet because I'm Jerry Jones and you're not. I'm Jeannie Buss and you're not. You know, James Dolan, you don't like it? Here's a cab just ran over your entire family because he's got all the cards. You can laugh all you want, hate him all you want. You know what he does at night? He laughs at you because you give him all your money. He's got all the money. He owns the team. He's got all the money. And he makes all the money. He's laughing all the way to the bank. You know what they're going to put in his casket? Not a pillow, just stacks of money to lay on. Because that's what he is. He's a bag of money. You know what he is, too? The spoon-fed kid that daddy gave him a big toy, the garden. Right? He gave him the Rangers and the Knicks, his daddy. What a life. It's got to be a rough life having that kind of daddy. Can you imagine being that loser kid? Because what was he like, playing a guitar and smoking weed, right? And then his daddy gave him all this professional sports franchises in Madison Square Garden. What a life. Can you imagine how easy life has to be when you know you can just smoke weed all day and be a fat-ass loser, and then your daddy's going to give you billions of dollars, and you're set for life. You don't ever have to lift a finger. You can suck at your job for the rest of your life, which is what he's done. He sucks at his job. Does he not? He's like the worst owner in sports, and he's still laughing at all of you. You know why? Because he's got it all, and you have nothing. All you do is complain about him and hate him, and he just laughs. You know what he does at night when he takes a bath? He bathes in money, and most people use soap. He washes his entire body with $100 bills. He smells like money. When he gets out of the shower, he doesn't even use cologne. He smells like a $100 Ben right out of the mint.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so the Pelicans get Zion, Memphis, Ja Morant, Knicks number 3, Lakers number 4, Cavs number 5, Suns 6, Bulls 7, Hawks 8 and 10, Washington 9, 11 through 14 is Minnie, the T-Wolves, Charlotte, Miami, and Boston at 14. I think Boston is 14, 20, and 22. In the first round, so that's pretty good. And so David Griffin said, I think it's just another positive event for us, and what we hope is going to be several we stack together. Mrs. Benson and her ownership group have invested in this very heavily, and my presence there and my desire to be there had everything to do with this community, so I'm really excited for the fan base. We have a lot of work to do, but it's a good start. Gee, you think, Dave? Thanks for all that insight, Dave. Dave Griffin telling us it's a real positive step. Oh, Jesus. Really? I would have said I just cabled in my trousers. I just got Zion Williamson. I just may have cabled. Thank you. I've got to run. Literally. To the bathroom. There you go. Is Zion enough to completely change the Anthony Davis trade sweepstakes? Well, that was when everybody thought they were going to trade, like, you know, the number one to get him.
Yeah, that was the original thought. You know, let's say if the Knicks would have got the first overall pick or one of these other teams, they could have went to the Pelicans and said, hey, you want Zion? Here you go. We'll give you the first overall pick. And now the Pelicans are laughing at them, saying we already have Zion. So
Anthony Davis trade rumors. Star would consider staying with the Knicks if they got him in a trade. I don't know. You know, the only way I see that happening is if Zion Williams goes to the Pelicans and says, I don't want to play here unless you get R.J. Barrett here. And then they make the trade with the Knicks.
Yeah, look, I think that what's going to be...
I want to play with my brother because I don't want to play here at all.
What's going to be very hard... What's going to be very hard for the Pelicans... Well, not really for the Pelicans, for the Knicks, I should say, is the Lakers are only one spot behind them, and they have so many more tradable assets that they could put with them, whether it be all those players that were talked about at the deadline, Ball and Ingram and all these other guys. So I don't see the Knicks have it. I mean, what the Knicks are going to have to give them then, you know, Knox probably.
Right.
A couple other things. You know, it's just...
the three, Knox, and what?
Right. Now, it's probably not going to matter to the Knicks because if they're
Trier,
getting...
Trier, Dennis
getting,
Smith.
If they're getting KD and, you know, whoever else this summer, what's the difference? But...
So if they get Durant and Kyrie, they don't care about anyone else on that roster. Literally. Maybe Robinson.
Well,
they like the big guy.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously are going to need other guys, but...
I'm starting to think they don't. So, because, you know, Kyrie's the marquee guy, right? As you know, he doesn't want anyone to be better than him, which Durant already is.
Which is why I still don't believe Kyrie's going to go there.
So, if they just play together, how about just the two of them play against five? You know what I mean? Two on five every night? Because that's what it's going to be anyway.
Well, then you'll have Davis, too, if the Knicks make that trade.
Oh. So get Davis, Durant, and Kyrie on the same team. I think they'd be pretty good. I think they'd be solid. I could live with that. Turkish television will not air the Warriors-Blazers games because of Enes Kanter. A major TV network in Turkey will not televise the Western Conference Finals because they believe that Enes Kanter is a terrorist. S-Sport, their main broadcaster of the NBA, he's been very critical, let's face it, Kanter, of the Turkish president. And he's publicly said the allegations are false, insisting he's not a terrorist, claims the government is out to get him and his family because they have been critical of the president's regime. He called the guy the Hitler of our century, which pretty much did it. And now they're not airing the games. How ridiculous is that, that they honestly are convinced that Enes Kanter is a terrorist? Have you ever seen this story, like on 60 Minutes, that they're trying to get him and kill him? Have you ever seen, what was the guy, Haydu Turkoglu? Have you ever seen, he's like the vice president, did you know that, of the country?
I did not know that.
He's like super powerful now. I don't know if you knew that. He's like super, I think he's the minister of sport or something for the country. So anyway, he's like, have you ever seen this guy do an interview? He hates Kanter so much that it literally gives him cotton mouth. I'm not kidding. Have you ever seen like the dry mouth commercials? I'm not talking about snapping tubes and having cotton mouth or smoking a blunt and having a little, you know, you need a little beverage because you got a little dry mouth going, little blunt dry mouth. I'm talking about he hates the guy so much that he's got literally like saliva problems. Have you ever seen the interview on 60 Minutes when the guy's got, like, just action going? He's got, like, dry cack going on the corners of his mouth, and he's completely got the bad breath going. You can see the interview because every word's like... He's got the chewy, dry mouth. You know what's great? Is that Mommy and Garai aren't even reacting to me laughing, and they used to a long time ago.
I didn't see it.
It's all right. Stay out of this because I know you don't find it funny, but I do. So, and sometimes I'm entitled to be have funny moments where I think something's funny and you don't. I don't have to like live on the same street as you on every joke. But do you think it's cheesy that they're not airing the games because they think he's a terrorist? That guy's a terrorist, and I'm Lizzie Borden. I mean, come on. Can you imagine if Enos Kanter became a terrorist in life? I mean, honestly, is this, you can't even make this stuff up. Is it like a movie? Because you know what it is? What's the guy's name? John Wick? That's who he is, Enos Kanter, John Wick. He's going to become like a killer. I don't know. An operative or something? Giannis says the Raptors are not like the season. Game one tomorrow night is a must win. You can go down 1-0 and everything's fine against Boston, but against Toronto, it's hard to be in that spot when you lose the first game in your home. There you go.
Now, it's obviously been a while since the Milwaukee Bucks have played as well. Well over a week, right? About 8 days. What was it, last Monday or Tuesday when they closed out the Celtics?
I don't remember. They kicked their ass so bad. It was just, I couldn't keep up with all their fame and fortune. They're like, no one can beat them, right? I mean, aren't they?
This series is over before it starts.
Oh, so that one's over too? Toronto? Oh, that Milwaukee's going to blow them out?
Five games at least.
And then they're going to blow out the Warriors too, right?
Allegedly.
Jimmy Butler thinks he'll get a max contract anywhere I choose to go. There's no denying his game, right? I mean, no one can deny that he can play. So I just think a lot of people think he's a D.
I think more than a lot of people do.
I think just a lot of people are sick and tired of him with his ego.
But he made a point on Sunday after they lost to really highlight how young players on that team really want to get better, and they, you know, whether it be Simmons, Embiid, et cetera, whereas when he was in Minnesota, all he did was destroy the young players that they wanted absolutely nothing to do with getting better.
Juwan Howard, do you believe that he'll be the next coach at Michigan? Do you think he could actually get that job?
You know what? That wouldn't be a bad, you know, he's got NBA assistant experience.
I think it would be a great hire for them.
Yeah, why not? Go do it.
I think they fell. Like, didn't I send you something, like, about how their fall from grace with Beilein leaving, that they've gone from, like, being a top 10 team in the preseason top 25? Is that not?
It's a big difference, yeah.
I have it right here. After, let's see, losing Beilein knocks Michigan out of the top 25. They're not even in the top 25 now. Are they? Is that right?
That's somebody's preseason top 25.
But this is CBS's.
No, this is I think Gary Parrish's top 25.
Well, is he not the CBS Sports College Basketball?
Yes, I'm just saying it's his top 25.
Okay, well, I have faith in him, and I think he's great. So, I don't even know what that means. 25-1, I guess, is Utah State or whatever, and 25 is Utah State. So he doesn't have Michigan in that top 25, which is crazy if you ask me, right? Because losing Beilein's bad, all right? There's no denying it. It's really bad for Michigan. But they have a great basketball program, in my opinion, and they have great players. They get great athletes that play in Ann Arbor, and that's just all there is to it. I think their basketball program actually, believe it or not, and no one will agree with this, I think they actually got better in the football program. You know what I mean? I think Beilein wins more than the football team. They win more than Jim Harbaugh. They do. They go to Final Fours and championship games. And Jim Harbaugh goes to Walmart to buy khakis. He doesn't win anything. I mean, let's face facts. Jim Harbaugh cannot beat Ohio State, right? John Beilein can beat anybody. That's just all there is to it. I don't believe for 1 minute they're not a top 25 team, though, just because he left. They're still, to me, easily. Not only do I think they're a top 25 team, I still got them in the top 15. They're still a really good team. What they need is a good coach now, which there's not a whole lot of them out there walking around, you know, looking for work, if you ask me. I mean, they're not going to give Patino the job. But I would give Juwan Howard that job. I mean, did he not have, like, one of the most impactful careers there ever of anyone? Why not just go with it and go with the guy? Did they not do that with Patrick Ewing at Georgetown? Just give the guy the gig and let's see what he does. They did it with Mullen at St. John's.
Especially when you get to this point in the offseason where for college basketball, if you were going to steal one of these guys from a lesser program, you would have done it a couple months ago. Now that Beilein waited so late to do it because of the NBA season and how it goes longer, you're really kind of left in the lurch unless you just promote from within.
So they got Michigan State 1, This is Gary Parrish, who I like a lot. They're number one. Duke 2, Kentucky 3, Louisville 4, Kansas 5, Memphis 6 with Penny Hardaway. I don't believe that. 22-14. To me, they're not number 6 in the country. Maryland, and then North Carolina. I'll tell you one thing, because Memphis always had, they love their college basketball, and now they got Ja Morant playing for the NBA team in town. That's going to be something else for those people. Believe me, they're going to love him as much as they love Penny. Maryland 7, North Carolina 8. So, listen, all right, Maryland at 7. All right, I get it. 23-11. They're always decent, right? But I'm not putting Maryland in front of North Carolina ever or Duke. And Duke's obviously number 2. So that's not happening. Maryland's ranked too high. I hate to tell you. Virginia's 9th. How, you know, with that program, what, did they lose everybody? They did. So that's why they dropped. But they're always great. In my opinion, they're still a top 5 team. Gonzaga's 10th. They're a top 5 team always, if you ask me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.